Now we have arrived at another stage that I have been privileged to study up close and personal. I met my husband, Greg, after he had emerged from the tunnel. So I've never been in a romantic relationship with a man in the tunnel. And I remember my first encounter with a king came because my mother encouraged me to date men who were 10 years older than I. And it seemed foolish, but I thought I would give it a try. And after my first date with a king, I called my mother on the phone in a panic, saying, He's a real man. I don't know what to do with a man. My mother's just laughing because that is the predicament that a king presents for women. We're used to influencing. We're used to having an impact. We're used to, frankly, being extremely manipulative and getting you to accommodate us. And a prince will put up with some of that. Not all of it, but some of it. But some of it, and certainly a lot more than a king will ever put up with. Because what happens when a man comes out of the tunnel as a king, his sense of self is now crystallized. He invented it. He articulated it. He trued himself up. And he comes out with such a strong sense of self and an inability to do anything that is inconsistent with his sense of self. And by inability, I wouldn't say that he never does, but if he does, it costs him dearly, and he will not be willing to pay the price for long, including accommodating or adapting to the people that he loves in ways that are inconsistent with who he is. So when a man becomes a king, he has a very strong sense of self, and he also will have an abundance of something that women love the most. That is very tongue-in-cheek. He will have an abundance of opinions. And we need to do a little sidebar here on opinions, because they will get women into the nastiest of trouble because women don't understand what opinions are to a man. For a woman, the word opinion, we think, well, it's just what I think. And I'll tell you what I think. And I might think something different tomorrow. And when I change my mind, I'll tell you about that too. Not so with a man. With a man, his opinions are formed, and they're formed by a combination of himself. So a combination of who he is, what he values, what's important to him, how he defines himself, and the information that he has collected, information that he's validated, information that he trusts. His sense of self and that information gets combined together and forms an opinion. This is why men will defend their opinions in a woman's eyes to the death. We're shocked. We're shocked how much energy and time a man could put into defending his opinion. Guys, I'll tell you, we'll sit across from you and you're vigorously defending your opinion and we're thinking, wow, he's such an idiot. Now he's not going to get laid tonight. We just think it's so ridiculous of you to pay such a price. Not understanding at all that you're defending yourself It's not just some thought that flew by. You're defending yourself because you put yourself into those opinions. And so obviously they're worth defending. Because we don't know that you put yourself into your opinions, we treat your opinions the way we treat our own opinions, which is just, here today, gone tomorrow, you know, no biggie, whatever. And because of that, we disrespect men's opinions, not knowing what we're disrespecting. The analogy that we make for women in celebrating men satisfying women is to a woman's feelings. What we say is that a man's opinions are to him what a woman's feelings are to her. And this is one of the most important things a man can understand about a woman. For us, our feelings, which are located right in the center of our chest, in the center of our being, our feelings are our connection to the eternal. They are a source. They are the source of truth. So we will honor and defend our feelings in the same way that a man will honor and defend his opinions. It's where our self is found. So if you can make that connection, we have a chance to pay respect, to be appropriately respectful of each other's feelings and opinions. Another thing just for women to know and men to know, because of this difference in where we find ourselves, you want to ask different questions. If you want to know what a woman is going to do, ask her how she feels about something. And you'll probably be able to predict her actions because we honor our feelings with our actions. If you want to know what a man's going to do, ask him what his opinion is about something because that's what he's going to honor with his actions. The mistake we make is because we think we've got a hairy woman and an emotionally indulgent man, men will ask women what they think, and women will ask men how they feel about something. Equally useless information, or unpredictive at the very best. Back to what we were talking about. Because a king has lived longer, and so has had a chance to collect and validate much more information, and because he has such a strong sense of self, he's going to have an abundance of opinions. And it behooves women to learn how to listen to men express their opinion without panicking. And we usually panic because if we disagree with him, distance is being created. And what we teach in our workshop is instead of listening to whether you agree or disagree with that opinion, listen, what is he showing me? What is he telling me? What's important to this person? What matters to this person? Think of him as a mystery to be unraveled, and that as he's expressing his opinions, he doesn't even know how much he's revealing, and you're the one that's mining for the gold. And if you listen that way, even when you have a different opinion, because you're striving to understand him, you'll end up with more intimacy instead of less. And his abundance of opinions can turn into an abundance of opportunities to learn about him and understand him. Some other things to know about kings. We first talked about providing. Well, as you know, providing starts when a man is born. So pages want to provide, and knights want to provide, and princes want to provide. And they all have limitations on what they're able to provide. Kings have probably the most capacity to provide and the most desire to provide and often the most time, resources, and intention with which to provide, but they're still limited. And they're limited in a different way because they now have a narrow set of parameters. They now have a much shorter list of what they're interested in providing. And that might sound like a mild word, interested. And when men say it, they usually say it in a mild tone of voice, which makes us think that it's flexible, that it's malleable. And it is not. It is not. When a king says, I'm not interested in that, or I'm not interested in doing that, or no, I'm not interested. You want to hear it like the end, because it is. With this strong sense of self, like I said before, he can't participate in what isn't consistent with who he is. And when he says, I'm not interested in that, he's saying there is no resonance. There's no resonance with who I am. None. And he won't do it. He won't do it. He can't do it. He's not going to do it. So you want to pay really close attention to when a king says, I'm not interested in that. Or when he says, I'm interested in that. Because that means who he is going to be brought to bear. If you want, if you need, if what a king is interested in providing makes you happy, and you show that appreciation, he'll give you everything he can. Joyfully, as a fulfillment of who he is, as one of his greatest privileges, to provide that which is consistent with who he is to a person who honors it and receives it and appreciates it. And this is one of the biggest problems for women, and even for children in a king's life. The ability to receive what he has to offer, the willingness to receive what he has to offer, the recognition that kings must give. It is who they are. It's the fulfillment of who they are. And to not let them give is a tremendous disservice. This showed up in a funny way when Greg and I were first married. When I was leaving the house, he would say, do you need some money? And I, you know, would answer the question honestly. I would think about how much money I had in my purse. I would think about what I was planning on spending. And I would answer the question, yes or no. And it was usually no. Do you need some money? No, I'm fine. But I watched him very closely, and I noticed that when I said no, he wasn't relieved. He wasn't glad. When I said no, he was disappointed. And I finally asked him once, you know, like, honey, when you ask me if I need some money, would you just rather that I said yes, that I didn't go through this whole calculation and just, it's always good to have more money. Do you need some money? Oh, sure. Would you rather I just said yes? And he smiled and goes, uh-huh. And almost every morning I see him go through it with our daughters. He tries to give them money to go to school. He tries to give them more lunch money. And he'll say, do you need some money? And they'll say, no. And he'll go, how about a dollar? And they'll go, no. And they'll go, It's an adorable ritual, and the best part are the few times, the couple of times, I don't know, maybe once every 10 days, they'll say yes, and he's so excited. He's so excited to provide that. Oh, man. If you can think about, as a woman, I'm talking to women now, if you can think about what you really need and what makes you happy, and then find a king that's what he most wants to provide, you have a recipe for bliss. You provide appreciation, and we're talking happily ever after here. If as a man, you think about what is it that you really want to provide, and you guys actually do this unconsciously, but consciously is always better. If you think about what you want to provide for another person and articulate it and start advertising yourself as what you're looking for as someone who wants that, and watching very closely, which you naturally do, to when you provide it, do they appreciate it? You're incredibly sensitive to that appreciation. Much, much better. Just a great, great combination. The disasters come when we're attracted to the stature and the being and the certainty of a king, and then we want something from him that he doesn't want to provide, and we think it means he doesn't love us. And it doesn't mean that. It just means it's not in him. And one king, the way he said it was, he said, please don't ask me for what I can't give. Ask me for what I can give, and I'll give you all I have. So this whole giving and receiving, providing and appreciating, critical elements to having powerful and happy and ecstatic relationships with men of all ages, and so important to a king that relationships will end over it. And another element of that appreciation is appreciating not only what he gives and what he does, but appreciating who he is. And the word for that is admiration. To admire who a man is, probably the most important thing you can do. Bliss, wonder, amazement, such empowerment to a prince, absolutely required by a king. Kings can't be with women who don't admire them and who don't express that admiration. They have to have it. It's like food and water to them. And it's one of the biggest mistakes that women make, especially in a long-term relationship, because if we have supported him all through being a prince and survived the tunnel, when he comes out a king, our reaction is relief and wanting credit. We want credit. We want credit for everything we did. And when he comes out needing to be admired, we have this kind of reaction, like a mother's reaction of, first you give me credit for everything I put into this, and then maybe we'll talk about admiring you, but I raised you, buddy, so do not expect me to get down and kiss your ring. I mean, we have a really not good reaction to it, and it doesn't turn out well, and it's one of the reasons why so many marriages unfortunately end at, it'll be like the 20-year mark, and he's come out as a king and she's still in mother mode. She's not become a queen. He isn't getting what he needs. He isn't getting the admiration he needs, and she's not receiving his gifts, and it all falls apart because he can't live without it. And if only she knew, which is why we have this recording. So now you know.